Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. Today's episode idea came from the strangest place. We're sitting at the lounge, going over the day's politics, listening to reviews of the impeachment trials, which are the most consummate, embarrassing thing America's ever had to show the public. And I think it was the Greg Gannier guy. I think I'm saying his name right. He's got his own show. He's really funny. He's on Fox, but you know, he's just a super smart, clever guy who seems to think for himself, which is good. You never get the feeling that he's towing some globalist bullshit or being told by his editor or his producer what to say, you know. But he made a point that I think is gigantic. And what's interesting about it is it was a gigantic point that I think applies to the entire planet. And it's become a mental technology. Go see my episode on mental technologies to fully grasp that whole concept. But it's about lying. And it's about lying in the context of the future. And his point, horribly paraphrased most likely, but this episode is going to really get into it, as he said that, you know, I think he was mainly talking about the impeachment trials, but he keeps saying that these Democrats, these politicians that are Democrats, that are scumbags, being defined as Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, Nadler, they're scaring their base by lying about what is going to happen in the future. I don't even think he got as deep as we're going to take it on this episode, but boy, it just, this bell rang in my head and I was like, put that on the list. We're going to do it tonight. I want you to look at all the things that are these ridiculous agendas that we are dealing with right now that are all future-based prediction lies and fear-mongering. Now, there are some things that we do acknowledge as potential future issues, and then we prepare for them, and then we just relax and go about our lives. That's the reward of preparing for something that could occur. For instance, if you live in a hurricane area, tornado area, or an earthquake area, you will maybe put some provisions away. Maybe you'll get yourself a shelter figured out. Either it's something you build or you know a place you can go. Perhaps you plan for a fire in your house and you've got the ladders if you're on the second floor. Get your kids educated about how to do this. Perhaps you get a firearm for your house just in case that one in a million situation happens where a burglar comes in, a home invader comes in. And so you don't keep it in the case. You don't keep it in a safe. You keep it all fucking loaded and ready to rock and roll. Keep it close. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is climate change slash previously global warming. We're talking about peak oil. We're talking about population control. We're talking about predicting, especially in the case of Trump, they're trying to scare their base that Trump is going to turn into something that he hasn't turned into already, right? He's waiting for his second term to become Hitler, is what they'll tell you. What does NASA do? NASA tells you, you need us because there might be an Earth-killing asteroid out there, and we're going to not only develop technology to detect it, but we're going to have impossible odds of physics to get rid of the thing. Why do we lose our Fourth Amendment in America that no one seems to give a shit? Because of the potential future terrorist attacks. Why do we have the TSA groping everyone, especially old ladies and kids, in airports? The future possible threat of terrorism. Why can't I take a tube of toothpaste that's full size on a plane, even though I can prove it's toothpaste? Why can't I take a bottle of fucking water on there that I bought from outside? because of all this ridiculous threat mongering crap that something bad could happen to you. Oh yeah? Well, I'm going to take a drink of this water. And if it's poison, if it's half of nitroglycerin, I'm going to die immediately. So if as long as I can drink it and continue walking into the airport, you're good. If it's some substance I could carry in my stomach without dying, then I could just drink all the explosive and then barf it back up and use it to blow up the plane. I mean, it's just nothing makes any fucking sense whatsoever. For a lot of snowflakes, they're trying to tell them that killing the people that have the things that they wanted or want because they worked really, really hard. They got educated. They didn't cry when someone didn't get elected. That now they deserve what the other people have. And if they just got rid of all of the A and C arc people, the B arc people would do great. And that's a little homage to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. In that story, they have a situation in the book, second book, where the main characters, at least two of them, land on this ship in the middle of outer space. They just end up in it because of the way they travel. They can suddenly appear anywhere. And they find out they're on this ark with millions of people inside stasis, but there's a few people that are alive. In fact, the captain's been taking a bath for 2 or 3 years. He's got this numbskull guard who's never been able to arrest anyone. So as soon as he finds these two guys, he goes absolutely berserk with all of his yelling and shouting and stuff. And what they find out is that their home planet told them all a story because they're all morons, right? Sounds just like the Democrats, right? They're all morons and they tell them this fucking future story about an impending doom on their planet. And everyone had a different story. And some of the stories are hilarious. And so they said, we're building three arcs, the A, the B, and the C. And the B is going to go first. And so they put all the dipshit social justice warrior snowflakes on the B and ship them off to this planet, telling them that we need you to get there first because we're going to need phones to be sanitized. We need marketing departments, all of the frivolous bullshit that destroys the world. I mean, Douglas Adams was so fucking ahead of his time. It's crazy. Well, the obvious story is that the A and the C was never made. They just got rid of the swill off their planet by telling them a future lie. Sadly, they landed on Earth and they became mankind. And that's the other absolutely hilarious irony of that story. And so now what we have is your frivolous, worthless, by their own negligence, human beings that are trying to get rid of all of the productive, focused, happy, pretty people. And it doesn't mean you're genetically pretty. It means that you are happy and they're pretty, right? You can look like anything and be sexy as hell. I told a story long, long time ago, 3 or 4 years ago, when I was stuck in the Bay Area for like 12 years. I would take trips back down to Southern California and just mourn that I didn't live here anymore. I go to Venice Beach. And there was this black girl once on the beach, and she was, I don't know how much she weighed, probably a little over 200 pounds, she's probably about 5'7 or so. And she wore this skimpy little bikini. It was just so struggling to hang onto her body. But she was so confident, and she had a whole gaggle of friends around her, and she was in charge. And just the way that she had a very pretty face, but she was just moving around and just owned it. And I remember it was like this profound moment for me where I was going, I'm typically not attracted to overweight women. But this girl was sexy. This girl was cool. This girl was everything on the outside, at least, to her persona. I don't know who she really was. But she just had this aura. And I was like, man, you know, it was like, you go girls, kind of what I was thinking in my head. But it was just, I could see myself being absolutely intoxicated by this woman. And I loved it. It taught me something. Don't judge the book by its cover. It's never more prevalent that day. So, mental technologies. Well, we always talk about, you know, when you see something that wakes you up, you can't unsee it, right? this is one of those big moments for all of us. This is something that I wanted to get out really quick in the episode in case you want to turn it off. You've never been on the episode before. You now have a weapon. And it's the idea and realization that this technology exists for the brain. Anyone starts throwing crap at you, globe warming, asteroids from space, all this stuff, you can just look at them and say, well, you know, that's all just a bunch of future predictions. And you can't live your life based off these future predictions, of which none of them ever come true. You know, there's a moment, I think, in almost every single human being's life, definitely for males, because we're the protectors in most cases, maybe not in some of the generations, but my generation, we're supposed to be men. And, you know, you're here to look around and protect and see who's got a, you know, a loose cannon somewhere, or they're not operating on all cylinders, you know? So as you become a man, you start to enhance this meter, this sensor, and you start getting a little too much in the, oh my God, this might happen, that might happen, that might happen. But it almost instantaneously in the same 10 minutes of your life, when you start to get to that point where, you know, you start to feel a little chaotic in your head, you immediately go, yeah, you know what? I can't live my life like I'm going to die by everything that I do. You want to live each day like it's your last, I think. And that's one thing Steve Jobs talked about. That way you just get more of what you want, you know. But you cannot, you know, just operate in fear constantly of future things that could take place. When you have children, boy, do they yank that stuff out of you in a heartbeat. You know, your kid gets a first car and then just drives away from the house. And you're like, oh my God, is my kid going to come back? Okay. And you forget that they have your DNA. They're fine. But random stuff does happen. Every once in a while, one of us takes a hit. It's a very sad thing, which is why you want to casually, you know, fill your kid with as much wisdom, fill yourself with as much wisdom, which is knowledge experienced, right? I have a whole episode on it, right? Just look up wisdom on deepthoughtsradio.com in the search field. Prince, I'm mentioning him a lot lately. I don't know why. I don't go in and listen to him in my house or anything. I have paintings I did of him on my wall, but he had a really funny scene in his movie Under the Cherry Moon where he was hanging out with Mary, the woman he wanted to woo. And she had been a rich girl in southern France. It's a fictional character. He's playing a fictional gigolo with his other buddy, Jerome, from The Time, who's also playing a gigolo. Prince is kind of the high-end gigolo because he can play the piano, and Jerome kind of lines him up for him, takes whatever's left. That's the character breakdown anyway. But they went to this restaurant called Le Bevillon, and she's trying to kind of show them her side of the game, almost challenging him, let's see how you can exist in my world, which is kind of silly because he was in her world the whole time, playing in beautiful high-end nightclubs in southern France. But he shows up with his short hair for the first time. We've never seen him with short hair, tuxedo. And they're having a dinner. And they're having this debate about knowledge, the value of knowledge. And Prince says, yeah, baby, you know, what do you know from knowledge? And he keeps saying, you ever been to Miami? Jerome keeps going, I have. It's just the banter between these two guys in that movie was priceless, man. Never to be recreated, I swear to God. But he gives her a challenge. He says, I'm going to write something down. And he says, Garçon, avez-vous un crayon? And he writes down this phrase. It says, recasto. And it's spelled really weird. And he goes, here, what is this? Say this. Say this out loud, right? And she goes, no, it's ridiculous. It's nothing. We'll say it out loud. Recasto. And they start laughing really hard. And he goes, you don't know what it is, do you? Because you have to ask permission to leave your house, man. He goes, here, say it again, and say it so loud that everybody can hear you. And she's young. She's 21. I think the actress is probably nearly 30, but she screams out loud, recasto, recasto. And he says, She goes, well, what is it? And he says, he leans into her and he goes, if you had to buy a Sam Cooke album, where would you go? And Jerome and him, just they're just waiting to burst out laughing. And she says, the record store. And they just fucking die laughing. And it really was this beautiful little metaphor of what you learn from knowledge versus wisdom. And that's a tool to fight future prediction, you know, a sheepdog herding. We can't let these people take away everything we have worked our entire civilized history to achieve by using this technology of the mind. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he launched this huge bold-faced lie about how Mars used to have oceans and it was totally civilized with an alien race, but they drove too many SUVs and the whole place turned into what it is now, being a bunch of pictures generated in a computer or taken in Greenland or other places in the world, pawned off as photographs from some, you know, rover that lasted 18 years longer than it was supposed to, or 17 years longer than it was supposed to, probably 18 by now. Absolutely ridiculous. But he wants to scare you. Just like a preacher, right? What's a preacher do? Just tell my Jesus Christ episode. Well, preacher's there to scare you that you might go to hell in the future. So you better give it up to him. Give him your kids, right? Joe Biden should have been a preacher, man. He would have been the happiest pedophile on planet Earth, man. Can you imagine all the pedophiles in the Democratic Party becoming a church? Who wouldn't be in the gang? Whether you realize it or not, there's a coup going on in the United States of America. And it's the globalist Democrats fighting sort of these taken off guard Republicans that are like, Jesus, is this really going on? You know, we got all these morons that got elected, plus all these shills that have been there forever. It's a big deal. As Q said, I think quite accurately, if America falls, the world falls. Now, before that dude ever hit the airwaves, I did in my gun control episode. If America loses its guns, you are fucked if you don't live in America. And even if you do live in America, it won't happen. Okay. It won't happen. The in-game play that they would have to do, minus the satellite apocalypse technology I just talked about, which means you have to control basically the entire government first, and then you can do whatever the hell you want down below. But still, it'd be a fucking bloodbath, and I don't think too many cops or soldiers would be doing anything but fighting on our side and be a really quick, short battle. But if they ever came for America's guns, it would be a bloodbath and we would lock this place up so fucking tight, you wouldn't be able to get in. We would be the euphoric North Korea with freedom inside and no one's allowed in. No one would be allowed in. And all those shields would be hanging. Their heads would be on fucking spikes, man. Every single one of them. So it's important that we don't lose control of ourselves by allowing this stuff to mess with our minds. What's NASA get every year? Or no, is it every day? Excuse me, $60 million. I don't know if that includes Jack Parsons' laboratory, but I don't think it does. I think they get their own budget. This whole thing of this 100-year war that Tony Rockefeller told Aaron Rousseau, who then told us through a little 50-minute interview in the hospital when he was dying of stomach cancer, Alex Jones went in and probably did the best interview Alex Jones has ever done, mainly because he didn't say much, which I appreciate. That's what you're supposed to do in an interview. But he told us there would be a war for 100 years with a faceless enemy, which was first Al-Qaeda, and then it was ISIS. And now we're not fighting either one of those groups. And now we're no longer, you know, electing or allowing people to throw the votes through voting machines to give us presidents that are creating this turmoil in the first place. And it's both sides. Up until Trump, it was both sides. It's funny with Trump, and this isn't going to be a Trump episode by any stretch, but I think it's funny that when he got into office, you know, my family members and friends are all, he's going to start World War III. You know, Hillary Clinton was going to put a no-fly zone over Syria, which is a declaration of war. Syria backed up by Iran and Russia. She was going to start World War III on the first fucking day. This dude has now pulled everything out. And yeah, we're putting a few more troops in Iraq right now. It's just to, one, replace some folks we're rotating out who did get injured from those missiles. But it's just a bolster just in case, right? You don't want to be caught with your pants down in case Iran does this big like ground strike, which they won't. The Iranian people are beautiful people. I mean, they really, really are amazing, friendly people. Are there criminals? Well, sure. The Ayatollah is this fake religious leader. And then that Soleimani guy was the actual president who was a military general. Well, Soleimani's dead. I'm sure if he gets replaced by anyone, that person will be dead. The Ayatollah, well, he's just got to keep up appearances. So he's going to say a bunch of bullshit. But the people don't follow any of that. They don't. They keep their mouths shut because they don't want to be killed. But, you know, they've killed over 3,000 protesters in the last 12 months. They've been rioting for 2 years over there, trying to get rid of all that crap. So, yeah, what I find interesting is that people that typically tell the truth, they don't do this future lie thing. But almost unanimously, the folks that do take your money forever. Future lies. And sometimes, my God, we've got sort of this subdermal lie thing that goes on at the same time, which is, and this is going to sound very unpopular, and some of you are going to go, yeah, he finally said it. And some of you are going to go, what? When things like AIDS came out, which again, the virologists of the world have been asking for one scientific paper that links this HIV virus to this other thing called AIDS. And there's not a single paper in the world that links the two together at all. There's nothing. When you have a T-cell immune deficiency problem and you die of one of 43 normal sicknesses, they just call it AIDS, right? It's mainly caused by the abuse of drugs or malnutrition, either one. But once the AIDS thing came up, I want you to take all of the money that Apple Computer alone has made selling red iPods and red this and red that on the back of the AIDS virus. Boy, I bet they love AIDS season when it comes around, right? They make a fuck ton of money on that month or whatever. They hold back the color red. Can't have red ever unless you buy an AIDS red thing. Wow. So what happens when we cure AIDS? What's going to happen? Do you never get a red thing anymore? The other one that's driving me nuts, and it's sort of one of these bittersweet things. It's really strange. I love all animals. In my later years, I've just learned how to, I've fallen in love with dogs on a level I never thought I would ever be so captivated. I never disliked dogs. I mean, there's some mean ones every once in a while, but I never disliked all dogs because one of them's mean. But my father was not a pet guy when I was young. He kind of liked cats, but didn't like dogs. And then later he loves all animals. Like he's been 3 decades into loving all animals. He has a bird now, I think. But I just, in interacting with dogs, have just fallen absolutely in love with them. I'm allergic to them. I'm allergic enough that it would be an issue. I'd have to take something every day and I don't want to put a synthetic in my body. Maybe in my lifetime they'll cure that. But there's this whole thing about rescuing animals. Okay. I'm not saying don't rescue an animal, by God. I mean, we watch videos in the lounge every once in a while. We'll go on these marathons where people pick up these dogs that are, and cats and everything that are messed up. And they totally love these things back into life. And it's the most beautiful, enchanting stories. But these veterinarians are fucking robbing you people blind. Blind. You know. The bills are so outrageously and arbitrarily created at veterinarians. My uncle's a veterinarian too, just so you know. That if you contest the bill, sometimes they'll knock an $800 bill down to $400 just because you said that's too goddamn much money. Oh, okay. Half price. You're like, oh, so this really is a ridiculous bunch of crap. My friend, in LA, she had a cat that stopped eating. And she was really worried about it because it started losing weight, but it was not that old. It was like 4.5 years old. And she's like, what the hell? It had gotten an affected tooth. And because it hurt to eat, she didn't eat. And so I took her and her cat to the veterinarian. We went off, got some dinner, came back, or lunch or whatever. They went at $850 to pull a tooth. Really? Really? $850. What did you do, man? Did you give it, you know, unobtainium skeleton at the same time or something, right? She contested it and immediately knocked it down by half. Sometimes these animals have a lot of issues and they just keep, you know, they'll neuter it for free sometimes, but they won't take care of all the problems. You come back and it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. My buddy Bobby Blotzer's dog died of spontaneous cancer at the exact same time that Chinese food was coming over. It was locked down for killing a bunch of animals. They dropped $8,000 on this dog in a month because everyone loved Jack. And it was just sudden. He had at least 2 to 4 years more of life and he just shut down. He was the sweetest thing on planet Earth. So there's games being played constantly to take advantage of us. And this future lie thing is starting to get ridiculous, right? Having to listen to this fucking kid, Greta. It's so unbelievable. One, Europe is the rocket engine under this chick's butt, right? Europe is the place you see Greta all the time, all the time. Oh, Greta, Greta, Greta. The little chick should be in school. She's not in school. You can tell she hasn't had much education. She can only read from a script. When she was asked at a panel one time to elaborate on one of her lies, and she may believe everything, I don't think she's that intelligent. I'd love to see her go through a Mensa test and see her come up flat zeros, man. I'd love to give her an intelligence test on nothing but global warming and meteorology technology and see how bad she fails and say, oh, and you're the fucking authority running around faux crying? You think everyone's buying it because George Soros is paying for your flights, your huge carbon footprint flights everywhere, private planes, and you're dumb. You're strictly stupid. Okay. But Al Gore makes a movie. 2006, December, it's released. I watched it. I actually believed it because I didn't have any knowledge on this stuff yet. Didn't take long before other documentaries came out by experts that founded the IPCC, which is the group that was founded to track down and make all this real, where they said this is all bullshit. Told you that several times. It's a great global warming swindle you need to watch. Now, you have to know that when you see that movie, there was a surge in heat in the world in 2003 due to sunspots. And they cover this. They categorically deny anything that Al Gore said. Al Gore's reverse hockey stick theory was also dismissed in the science community before he released the movie. But of course, they try to quash that. And what did they give him? An Oscar, a Grammy, a Nobel Prize. I mean, it was just all set up. Once they gave Obama the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, what, the first week he was in office? How do you get something for something you've never even dealt with before? Unbelievable, right? But this dude, the funniest thing was, in his simulation of what the world was going to be like in 4 years, the sea levels were going to rise 10 feet. Okay, 10 feet. Montecito went underwater in his movie. It's a little coastal region here in California. It hasn't risen jack shit. And guess who bought a house with the money he made off of all of his shilling? Al Gore. He bought a house in Montecito. It's one of his dozen houses that he owns that racks up a $40,000 a month electrical bill between all of his homes. This guy is probably one of the biggest carbon footprinters of a non-upper class citizen. But what's going on? How do they fight the war of the future lie? Now, here's the thing. Let's say the future lie is that in 3 days' time, 2 + 2 is going to equal 5 all of a sudden. And you're like, really? yeah. Oh, why is that? Well, the universe is going to change an upside down, backwards, quantum physics thing, blah, blah, gravity wave. And you're like, whoa, I don't know anything about that. Well, that's fucking weird. Really? Too? And you start spreading that around. So you find one of your mathematician friends and you tell them, and they're like, what? No, dude, 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4. It'll never equal 5. What are you talking about? And then 3 days passes, and sure enough, you do your calculator, and 2 + 2 = 4. But these crazy fucking Agenda 21 people, which is what everything in the world is underneath, you need to research it. Rosa Khoury, Rosa Khoury. She's an expert on it. She's a Trump supporter who's a libertarian and a lesbian, right? If you were to just total up her demographics and say, is that person a Trump supporter? You would say, hell no. But guess what? She is. Because she's been fighting it on a legal level with the organization she created, and she's seeing the President of the United States kill everything that Agenda 21 was doing to America. She's also very much aware that Barack Obama was trying to hand it over and that Hillary Clinton was basically the spike slam dunk on Agenda 21 destroying this country. But what happens after this 2 + 2 still equals 4 in 3 days is that, okay, all the press in the world from Reuters, AP, same company owned by the Rothschilds, all of the news organizations that are liberal, you know, and Fox, you know, they're just playing this game. It's a money game. Individuals on Fox, I think, are very awake and not, they're never going to waver. But they're, whoever writes their articles that are not linked to the personalities, they're the shilly guys that put one in every once in a while, right? But they keep saying, from this point forward, 2 + 2 does equal 5. And you're like, what? This is nuts. I can do my own math and it doesn't equal 5. I can get 4 chopsticks, 2, 2. It equals 4. When I count them up, it equals 4. No, it equals 5. I'm obviously ripping this off from 1984 by George Orwell. How many lights do you see in Star Trek? Which I think it was David Warner playing a Cardassian. And he was torturing Jean-Luc Picard. There are 4 lights. But they keep repeating and repeating and repeating the lie. And eventually, the weak give up. And they say, okay, fine. And what was beautiful in the Star Trek episode is what happened, if you guys don't watch Star Trek, is that Jean-Luc Picard, the captain of the first reboot, Next Generation, is captured by these lizard guys. And he is forced to look at 4 lights and say it's 5, and he won't do it. So they torture him and starve him to death and hang him by his body. I mean, like, they literally did a cross-sex crucifixion on the guy. And eventually the good guys find out where he is and they make a demand. We know you got our guy, give him to us. And he is just Picard, you know, what is it? Patrick Stewart played this role, this particular episode, especially so believable. I mean, how destroyed he was as a human being. And then he turns around at the last second and screams it in his face. I'm not going to concede to your bullshit. And that has to be every single one of us that wants to protect our way of life. You know, what's really fascinating about this whole sort of globalism, Agenda 21 thing. And again, I don't know what happened to the IQs in Europe. They're waking up like crazy. France is having massive protests in Paris. Britain just woke up and walked the hell away from the European Union. But I don't know about all these pro-EU folks, these pro-Agenda 21 folks. I don't know what virus has crawled into their brain to make them feel like this is a good idea. I don't know what the pitch is that makes them believe that they're not, that they're actually on a list that's going to get all the benefits of life, right, from this thing. But what's fascinating is what I can tell you unequivocally is the freedom that you have today, whatever that means to you, getting up in the morning when you want to, being able to change jobs, being able to buy a car if you can afford it, being able to dress in clothes that express your opinions, being able to have hair how you like it, wear sunglasses the way you like it, in the middle of the backyard at 2 a.m, smoking a cigar, making a YouTube video, that kind of freedom. Once Agenda 21 gets its way, I think I could probably safely estimate 80% of every single thing that you recognize as freedom, if not 95%, is a fleeting memory of a generation that is the first generation to get put into these concentration camps, which are these inner city structures, because the rural areas of the world will be wiped clean of all human beings. And you will be in a uniform. You will have a hairstyle for men, hairstyle for women, THX-1138. Everyone was bald to create a total fascist society, so no one envied anyone else's stuff. You will be patrolled by robots, like I've said several times, and you'll lose it all. Your homes will be videotaped constantly inside every room. You take a shit, they got it on tape. You have a conversation with your kid, your wife, your husband, your friend. It's all being recorded. Then it's being transcribed, just like a YouTube video, into text files. Then a very dumb AI computer looks for pattern recognition on what you say. It's not even remotely difficult to do. We've been doing it forever. It's called search engines. We've had search engines and databases forever, right? Everything that's underneath Google's hood, I used to do it professionally in the 90s before the internet was HTTP protocol enabled. It's not a big deal, man. It's all a big keyword search. That's it. Now you can add other AI on top of it to enforce tyranny, which we know happens. So NASA keeps buying these articles on the front page of every single news rag on planet Earth, including Fox, because they know it creates clickbait. It creates ad sales. So they are willing to sell articles. It costs about $250,000 to buy an article on the front page of any of the .com websites in the world. They'll sell it and make it look like it's an impartial news thing. I mean, you know, what is it? Jessica, what's her name? The singer just bought a little promo piece of, you know, why she stopped drinking. All these influencers, these mom influencers on Instagram. Well, the PR firm signs up, buys the article. Doesn't cost $250 for sure on that deal, but it's just filler. They're buying the bumpers, buying the holes in the news feed, and they drive a bunch of people to Instagram, and then they get a bunch of sponsorship, and the PR firm gets paid, and the lady gets paid, and it just goes in a big circle. But NASA buys these, you know, asteroid coming at Earth articles every quarter, at least every quarter. About every year, they'll buy the black hole's going to swallow up the universe thing. But when's the last time you ever heard? Now, you can get this in Popular Science, a little bit in Scientific America, but that's the only place you get what I'm about to say. It's all fluff. It's all words. They're threatening us with an outside cosmic event of which they have no ability to stop at all, at all, at all, at all. If there was a rock the size of Rhode Island coming at Earth, there's nothing NASA can do about it. But when's the last time you ever heard of NASA launching a rocket to even test this out? You know, everyone's always fascinated by nuclear weapons, right? We'll send a bunch of nukes at it, you know. You're talking about nothing touching this thing, right? You couldn't blow up, you know, a moderately huge rock. I mean, if a rock was as big as New York City, their ability to actually hit it and blow it up into little pieces, that's really tough. Because in space, if it's exactly what they say it is, it's going to bounce off. Yeah, you'll singe one side of it, maybe change its trajectory. But imagine it was going to land in the Atlantic Ocean. It was going to land in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But now it's going to land in Kansas. It's going to land in Paris. It's going to land in India, Russia, China, because they moved it wrong. That'd be great, wouldn't it? They're lying about climate change. They know it was almost like set up as a destiny for someone to come in and pull a scam on climate change. Because why? Because of what I've told you guys several times. We bitch about the weather, but we don't bitch about the weather because we really terribly care about the weather. We talk about the weather so we can open up a dialogue with another human being to get off of the weather conversation and ask the chick for her phone number so maybe some destiny could happen. That's what that conversation was about. It's the water cooler conversation. It's what you can say to any human being on planet Earth to get something going. But now they usurped it. It's the fuse that gets into this other conversation, which is now you can not only have that conversation, but you can start virtue signaling a bunch of horse shit because you're a moron. You don't study anything about the atmosphere. You don't study the greenhouse gas layer index, you know. But repetition, repetition, repetition. With NASA, and Trump is just as guilty as anyone, Q is guilty of this. They tell you that they went to the moon. You know, Q said they did it with secret programs. I mean, what a bunch of shit this guy pulled on everybody. I have an episode about it called Did QAnon Lie? Go see it. He's lying. He's lying straight to his followers. And of course, when I tell my friends who know I know the science about this thing and they're not equipped to refute it, and they also believe it as well deep down inside, and we'll say it in other conversations, but not in that conversation, they'll say, oh, well, you know, Q sends disinformation out there for people too. Oh, how fucking convenient is this goddamn fictional character out there? When he's telling the truth, it's like literally some asshole that predicts the future every day. Predicts there's going to be an earthquake today. And then some earthquake happens somewhere in the world. That's what I was talking about. But if no earthquake were to happen all day, well, you know, I don't always tell you the truth. It's, you know, I got to do my ways. Well, then you can fucking win every goddamn day, don't you? Right? It's like, it would be like having the rules to American football be this to score. Well, you can either put it in the touchdown zone to score 6 points, or you can not get it in the touchdown zone and still score 6 points. Either way, you're queuing on and you're always scoring. And you have all these people saying how fucking ingenious he is, because now he's posted so much gypsy reading crap that they can just find, you know, one of his other Q clock and all this other shit. Really? No one's gone to jail, right? You're telling me that the impeachment trial is some ingenious fucking thing that we need some oracle making cookies in a kitchen to decipher? I don't think so. I don't think so. If there ever was a shit or get off the pot moment, QAnon's been in the toilet for a really long time, right? There's a line out front. Get the fuck out of there, dude. You got nothing to contribute to society. Maybe you've awakened a lot of people up, but maybe we would have already have awakened through other means. You haven't made anything profound, seriously. You've predicted a few weird little things because you're making predictions every single day and everything's so non-committal because of top security reasons, you know, all sort of crap. It's like, yeah. Go back and study Deep Throat from the days of Nixon, not the movie, but the informant on the Watergate investigation. That was real insider information that broke the case wide open. Not this QAnon shit that's like, I got to hide, you know, behind this thing. And oh my God, just fuck off, would you? It's like Rick Gervais said, thank your agent, thank your God, and get the fuck off the stage. Because he's threatening you with the future too. We can handle our world without these, you know, weird things going on, in my opinion. The amount of people that fall for the pride thing, because NASA's this, you know, American institution, and it's attached to these astronauts that got to go to ticker tape parades and basically not do anything for the rest of their lives to earn money because they have a big fat pension and they're obviously being taken care of because they're holding down the lie. I mean, what an interesting conversation with God. That just blows me away. It's like, you know, I think the only maybe rationale you could have would be the astronaut telling God, you know, well, they were going to kill my family. And I truly, as a human being, believed that. And so in order to keep my family alive, I kept the lie going. That's about the only thing I could imagine you could tell your God. But you know what? Your God's going to know if you really did believe that or not. It's 2020, man. It's time to throw down. It's 51 years later, man. It's time to throw down. Yeah, you know what? I'm done with this lie. I'm not going to be controlled anymore. I look in the mirror and I want to slice my own throat open because I've been lying to every single kid out there. And, you know, spare me the bullshit of inspiring children. The only thing that these astronauts did in terms of influencing children is to make sure they never go back to the moon because it's old grandpa thing to do. Every single accomplishment that man's ever done, nobody wants to do it again. Hey, someone else, I'm trying to find something new. What can I do? I'm going to climb that rock. It's never been climbed. Someone just climbed it last week. Ah, fuck that then. Right? That's how it goes. The world's not going to flood. And, you know, what's really interesting is, when I started this show, I probably believed a lot more information than I believe right now from the science community. And since I have awakened one connection at a time, especially the dinosaur thing, man, what a duped goddamn thing I believed in my whole life, right? And for anyone who has an issue with this dinosaur thing, because you, well, I'll just say it this way. If you don't think the dinosaurs, well, if you think the dinosaurs were real, either you've never done any research in it, which I fully respect, but if you've done your research and then you still came back to the conclusion that they exist, I imagine you were a dinosaur kid. You had the little toys and stuff, or you watched all the shows on TV that had them. You loved Jurassic Park and you don't want anyone to piss on your parade. And you know what? I don't really feel like I need to piss on your parade. If you kind of want to believe in that, that's cool. There's some chick in Wisconsin that dresses up like, you know, Ninja Turtle every day. She doesn't bother me. I think it's kind of neat, you know? It's like, hey, if you can do it and someone will pay all your bills, awesome. It's great. So I don't really feel like you need to not believe in dinosaurs, but the one thing you can do to convince yourself that this is all absolute bullshit is that the dude who found the tooth, the first thing they said was a dinosaur. If you look at the dinosaur that he created in the museum to show off the tooth, it's pretty much 98% a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's not as big as a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but it's the same goofy ass body with small hands. You know, when you take away all the supports and you make it real and throw it into a 3D software, it falls right on its face, breaks its neck, because it just geometrically doesn't match everything else that exists on this planet. I mean, I had a friend of mine who mistakenly showed his cards, and he wasn't trying to be manipulative, but he had seen so many like Jurassic Park movies that he actually thought that the little tiny velociraptor is actually a real being in this world. And we're all looking at him in the room like, really? Where do you think you saw that, man? I don't know, man. I know I saw it. So I was at, he starts fabricating a lie to cover it up in his own mind. He was just literally coming to terms with the fact that he was taking fiction that was so beautifully rendered by Industrial Light and Magic that he actually thought it was a living being. That's how easy it is. But we have another little thing, another layer on top of. So below the layer of lies, we have the, oh, it's a puppy. You know, it's like we're not doing anything to curb, you know, rampant population explosions in animals. We have the profiteers from that, you know, phenomenon that we're not doing anything about, right? I mean, some people are really honestly trying to fix that problem. And those are the people we need to fund, you know. I've got one friend of mine who tried to do that and he ended up realizing it was a completely fruitless game. But then we have Future Lie. But on top of that, then we have these trillionaire families that are now trying to orchestrate the lie. What do I mean by that? Well, weather manipulation is extremely real. Extremely real. By 1948, we were seeding clouds to rain. In Kansas, there was an experiment somewhere in the 1950s. And this is my life. What I'm about to tell you sort of blows my own mind a little bit. When I was a kid, my grandmother owned this sort of olive green, I believe, refrigerator. And on the side of the refrigerator with a magnet on top of it, she had cut out an article of a bunch of, it's a picture of a bunch of biplanes flying. I think it's a night shot. If however they did it, they must've hit it with the light or something, but it was a bunch of biplanes. And it was an article about how they seeded the clouds in Kansas in their mid-50s to make it rain. And she kept that on her refrigerator forever. And I'm, you know, I remember just thinking, well, that's kind of neat. And my mother, she was a school teacher. So I just looked at that article over and it never moved, man. The entire time I knew my grandmother at this particular house, it was only at her last house, but I mean, I think she moved into there by 1980 or so. It was on the side of her refrigerator. And now I get to this point and I have to argue with people in 2020 that we can see clouds and make it rain. They're not willing to look it up in the annals of time. It's fully documented, man. Well, we know that we know how to race clouds because for $100,000, you can make all the clouds disappear over your wedding. It's a service you can buy. China wiped all the, they reserved, I think it's either $3 or $30 million. Can't remember the exponential on that, but they paid millions and millions of dollars to clear all the clouds out before the Olympics happened in China. They created a monsoon just south of that, which killed something like 75 people. So we're not buying the climate change thing. Okay. So they start moving the jet stream with metric tons of this stuff, controlling the high pressure zones. The Dane guy that does all the chemtrails, just look up D-A-N-E, chemtrails. You'll find his website. He's got a PhD. He's the guy that worked on the solar panels, owns 2,500 acres, 2,600 acres up against Mount Shasta. He is proven by scientific method with six PhD botanists that work for him. The stuff kills the soil, kills the plants, and erases storms or creates them. But erasing them is even more intense because you cause high pressure zones. But he has tracked since chemtrails really got underway in 97. I think they've been around for about three decades before that. But he has tracked the fact that the jet stream that normally doesn't reach northern Alaska is now all of a sudden wandering around northern Alaska, keeping it between 34 and 32 degrees, which is melting temperatures. Fahrenheit, of course. So a little over zero Celsius, right? So now they're trying to create it. If there's a little tiny storm in the ocean, well, they can just bomb that thing with the seeding technology and blow it up. Then they can do erasing technology to the left or right of the hurricane and steer it, like the one that came in when Obama got reelected. Again, in Wikipedia, if you read why Obama got reelected, they say in there, because of his courageous response to this hurricane that nearly hit New York. What a fucking joke. Go study where he was while this thing was coming in. You know, the subtotal of his entire participation was ignoring it for almost its entire journey. And I think going and visiting a weather center for the last 36 hours of its existence. He did nothing. He didn't give an executive order. He didn't give any commands to do anything. It just didn't hit the coast. But if you look at the documentaries on YouTube about it, they give you all the aerial photographs of this thing traveling towards New York, and you'll see these unprecedented grids and lines of chemtrails on both sides of the thing, making sure high pressure systems directed this thing wherever the hell they wanted it. How do they try to get rid of our guns? A future lie. The future lie is that, oh, there's just going to be more mass shootings, more crisis actors, more mass shootings, more crisis actors, more mass shootings. So we need to take away all the guns. I read an article about a week ago that I can't remember where in the world it was, but they're starting to sell like snub-nosed knives now, like the kind you had in cafeteria when you were a kid. It's like a glorified butter knife, so you can't stab somebody. Now, quite frankly, I own a lot of like normal kitchen knives, some nice German knives. And I can't actually say that there's a lot of need for me to use the point on the end of a knife. So maybe there's some logic to that. But, you know, a machete usually has a pretty round edge too. And it's a weapon of choice in South America and Africa to chop a mofo up who's done something wrong. Or just because this guy's crazy and he's in a gas station. Future predictions that never come true. What I think is fascinating about it is that the individuals that typically try to scare you out of your guns, as an example, are the kind of people that actually have the evil hearts that would take a gun and shoot their neighbor, shoot their wife, shoot their husband, shoot their kids. They're the people that have the mental issue. And typically it's very apparent they have a lot of other mental issues. And your average center to slightly right person, which is the majority of America, we don't even think about it. You can have a complete knockdown, drag out argument with your spouse or with your kid or with your neighbor. And you don't, I forget I even own a gun. I forget. Oh yeah, I got this thing. Oh yeah, cool. You know, sometimes I'll be in bed. It's funny because I've got raccoons and possums and cats and stuff that roam around the backyard. Why not? It's the coolest place on earth, right? But at my bedroom window, I was going to bed and it was late and it was probably 4 a.m, whatever. And I heard this pretty big animal, I assume it was a raccoon or something, moving against all the vegetation right next to my windows, making a lot of noise. And, you know, you kind of sit and your ears perk up, but you know, I'm like 98% sure it's just an animal. You know, but you kind of perk up and you're like, okay, let's just make sure the animal goes by. And what you're listening for is any sound that is your window moving, right? Once you hear that screechy noise of the window thing, well, then you got a human being trying to open a window. Then you try to scare them away. That's the first thing you want to do because you don't want to get involved. You don't want to be like, oh, great, I'll get to shoot somebody today. You know, no, you clap your hands, you yell, you make a noise, and then they'll take off. They're not here to do anything crazy unless they're completely drugged out of their mind. But California, thankfully, has fences between homes. What did they used to use when we were kids? I mean, I'm showing you how systemic this is and how long it's been in your life. What did they used to tell you if you crossed your eyes too much? They'll get stuck that way. My grandfather used to tell a funny one, if you didn't eat the crust of your bread, you wouldn't know how to whistle. It's just funny, man. And of course, there's the little one for young men. Don't want to get a hairy palm, right? We've been doing this for years. And what's sad about it is they've just advanced the algorithm up for sort of these men, child people. Don't you want to be involved in something? Oh, yeah. You know, do you stand for something? I don't think so. Well, what if I told you something you could stand for? Oh, yeah, totally. It ends up being a big joke. I mentioned the other day in an episode, but I forgot to really go through it again because it's a really short story. But, you know, we got a precursor, at least in Southern California, of who was going to be a gullible snowflake. And it had to do with this Kony 2012 bullshit, right? What was that story? Wasn't it Uganda? Some crazy guerrilla guys. This is the story, okay? None of this is true. But they went into a village and stole a bunch of little girls out of a grade school. And took them out into the woods and then was, you know, raping them and killing them. It was, and then this kid from San Diego gets somehow in the deep state, gets somehow into this agenda, and runs around telling everyone he needs to raise money to go fight these gorillas. Okay, first and foremost, these gorillas are badass motherfuckers, and no kid from San Diego is going to be able to do anything to these folks. This is either going to be a military operation or it's not. And the U.S. government's either going to do it or they're not. And they didn't. But some people went out there from Uganda because they were like, well, we'll take care of this shit ourselves, man. But they go out there and they finally take a picture of this group of people and all these women. Maybe the youngest one was 25, but most of them were like 35 to God knows how old they were. They were grown women. And guess what? They're all fully clothed and they're the de facto partners of all the men in the jungle. No one's being held on against their will. But now here's the interesting thing that happened. A very good friend of mine had a girlfriend and their relationship was going great. And she all of a sudden got on this Kony 2012 thing, bought it hook, line, and sinker. Now, had she been to Uganda? No. Did she know the guy from San Diego? No. Did she have any evidence whatsoever that this stuff was true? No. Did she do any research? No. What happens? Well, he finally just had enough of it. He had been tolerant of this stuff, but he's a genius and he's a researcher. So he went off and found the evidence and then showed it to her and said, look, I don't think you need to worry about this. I think maybe the kid's pulling a scam. He's made millions of dollars. He's going to keep. So just, you know, let's maybe not focus on it so much. She breaks up with him because she believes it so much. She has found her cause in life. And aside from Kony 2012, her cause would have been her life. Boy, you can't have that as an agenda, can you? Because when you have no answers on how to live your life, it's a scary paradigm, right? So she breaks up with him. He's sort of, bummed because he's like, well, everything else was great. I don't know what the hell the deal is here. But okay, I don't want to be dating crazy. Definitely don't want to get crazy pregnant. And so within 30 days of her throwing down to him how stupid he was and da, 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 da. Again, research nothing, know everything. Typical Democrat, right? It's just the archetype of a Democrat. How could you possibly be one with a capability of researching anything, right? And having cognitive reality be your quality in life, right? Joe Biden is a complete kid-touching pedophile, a quid pro quo liar, His whole family is. But he's a candidate for presidency. Give me a break. And no one's saying anything about this guy's record. Okay. But less than 30 days after she broke up with him, the kid ends up, who started this movement in San Diego, buck naked, crazy as a fucking, crazy motherfucker, running around naked on a corner in broad daylight. You never saw that guy again. He is gone off the face of the planet. Now, consequently, was it Barack Obama's aunt who said that she was holding the leg of his mother when he came out of her in Kenya, also ended up disappearing for 45 days in Boston area, I believe, and she ended up in the exact same mental state, half naked, roaming around her street, screaming at everybody. Interesting, right? She says that, she disappears, she comes out MK Ultra, right? And I'll tell you a little secret here. I had a good friend of mine who actually met through MK Ultra as just a listener. And she's a sweetheart, but she lives in Arkansas, where women apparently don't have that many rights. And she was in a dispute with her husband at the time. She had pretty compelling evidence that the guy was touching the kids. And it's pretty horrific when she told me what her little daughter said about all this information she had about sex, and the kid's like barely old enough to speak. Okay. He managed to call the cops on her. She comes home and the kid's got physical issues downstairs. She seems to be on drugs because she's not with it. She's three. She's talking about how the husband's mother gave the kid some drugs and like she didn't know what it was because she's a kid. She seems all messed up. So she calls the cops and says, I need you over here because I need you to look at my kid before she sobers up and I need you to witness certain things she's been saying. So she goes off and takes a shower. It's what you have to do when you're a single parent because they kind of separated at the time. So the police show up and charge her with criminal negligence of a child because she took a shower at the same time that her kid was in the house, as if that's not allowed. Utter crazy. So she then blows a gasket. She's already really tired. She's been working, you know, just kind of got out on her own. She's distraught because her kid's messed up. And she gets more furious the more that they're not focusing on her kid. Because she's like, my kid may not remember this tomorrow, so you need to talk to her, right? They commit her to a mental institution instantaneously. They don't throw her in prison or jail because she seems, you know, she's pissed. They then proceed, just like a crazy nightmaric, movie, to eventually give her shock treatment. I mean, I didn't know this stuff still existed. But we're talking about, you know, lathering up your temples, putting the electrodes on, putting a bit in your mouth so you don't bite your tongue, and popping her. And she has no idea how many times they did it because her brain gets absolutely erased. All the neural patterns and neural information in your mind, all those little electrons that make you who you are, make you remember where you are and all that stuff gets erased. That's why it was invented in the first place, because it would calm down a crazy person. They would eventually metabolize back up, usually. But then they did this other thing, which was just as egregious. I mean, she should be able to sue this place for millions of dollars. They threw her out of the hospital within, you know, a couple of days of doing this to her for several weeks. So she no longer has her identity completely. She's got a bit of like temporary amnesia because of this shock treatment. And she called me up, you know, several times. And what was happening? I mean, I heard this on the telephone. Now, she is perfectly fine today. She's really just, I mean, if she became a country singer, you would see her movie on TV. We're waiting for the happy, happy ending. And then she's got a movie just ready to go. But she'd be on the phone with me and she would be crying a little bit. She's a very strong person. So for her to have any tears or vulnerability in her voice, it's not normal. But I heard this on the phone several, and I told her, you call me anytime you need me. Okay. But she's fine. We're talking. And I'm pep talking her like crazy. I'm orienting her life. I'm talking about how she's okay and she's stable now. And unfortunately, her mother was a drug addict, and her mother's partner, who was another lady, was even a worse drug addict. So she had no place to go but this horrible house with all this drugs. And so she'd be talking to me. We did Skype every once in a while, but mostly it was on the phone when I heard this craziness. And she would start, she'd be fine. And then all of a sudden, the reset frequency would come back. I'm not sure why this happened, if there's a pocket in her mind that did this. And she would start stuttering. And then she would start saying, you know, Mark, I have to get off the phone. I have to get off the phone. And a few times I said, stay on with me. Just do whatever you got to do. And she was so embarrassed that she had no control over her body and her mind that she'd hang up on me half the time. But one time, a couple times, I was just driving in my car. I came back from LA for my startup. And I'm driving down the street listening to one of the most horrific experiences that someone else has had without being really physically being beaten or damaged, right? But she'd have to scream every once. It was like a little, I don't know, it was like a mix of everything, like Tourette's and all this other stuff, right? But not really saying anything coherent. And so when I see these weird kids, like these Gretas, Thunbergs, it's like, I don't know, that kid's just fucking genetically messed up. But, you know, the links that the deep state will go to get their way is insane. Now, that was just a little personal situation. It's taken 2 years to get everything back on track, and she's completely on track and got her life together. But, you know, when you hear these things, experience these things firsthand, you start to understand just the minor tools that can be used to create fake evidence towards these lies, right? There was that famous Marine. I'm thinking it's 12 to 15 years ago. Some of you remember this story. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was, I guess, posting online a bunch of truth stuff. And he was very focused. He was an ex-Marine. He was focused on 9/11. And so he was posting a bunch of stuff about it being an inside job. And I don't know what he was doing, but he was digging deep and he was touching the right communities to cause problems for those who did it. And so he was raided in the middle of the night. And he's a big guy. And he didn't shoot, you know, didn't get crazy, but they were dragging him out of his house as it was told. And the neighbors were interviewed in one of the videos I saw. But he was screaming that he knew it was an inside job and they're literally coming to take him away because he knows the truth and his neighbors heard. That might have saved his life because he said, I believe I have this right, but he said that when he got into that holding cell, wherever the hell they took him, he said, the dude that you see with Tim McVeigh, who was his little controller after the Oklahoma City bombings, there's that guy, I can't remember his name, I don't think I've ever known his name, but they said, he said that that guy was in the room. And he said, that dude said to him point blank, I can make you think anything I want you to think. I can do anything to your brain that I want to do. I can make you whoever I want to make you. And that was the most sobering thing he ever heard because he believed it. Why not? So when you hear the retort that, no, 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 it's real. Well, what about this evidence, this evidence? Well, those are all lies. Oh, really? Right? You know, how convenient that every time you're brought the truth, you know, these people, they deem it as a lie. It's like there's a second chapter to the Emperor Has No Clothes. You know, I haven't had that story told to me in probably 40 years, but it seemed to me that the story was that there's a parade for the king and he comes out. He has no clothes on. There's a guy or several people behind him pretending to hold his tails, right? But they're not there. He's totally buck naked with his crown on. Maybe he's holding a staff or something, right? His scepter. And the little boy, you know, whatever gender, little kid says, Mommy, why doesn't he have any clothes on? And as I remember it just vaguely in my brain, the rest of the people finally saw they didn't have clothes on and they broke the cognitive dissonance that was present in that time. But in this day, there's a second chapter to the story. The way it really ends, the Grimm's brother tale, if we were to take it and make it a Grimm's brother tale, is that all the adults look at the kid and say, of course he has his clothes on. And the kid's like, what? You know? And if the kid protests one more time, well, someone doesn't have a kid anymore. And the king eats him. That'll be the Grimm brothers ending to that whole thing. So here's what I want you to do. When you hear, or, well, there's two halves to it, right? When you're doing your research and you hear about a bunch of future issues, and I just did an episode called Satellite Apocalypse, right? That's why I say I don't want you to think that I am trying to get you freaked out. I just want you to be aware of a possibility, right? It's the same sort of thing. What I'm trying to do, whether or not I'm successful or not, is up to you. Some people take it probably one way. Some people take it the other way. But if I said, you know, if you walk in front of the street and walk into the street like Russians do without looking both ways, you probably have a fairly high likelihood, depending on the time of day, of being hit by a vehicle, which will take your life. Now, I just want you to look both ways. When you get to the edge of the curb, left, right, left, something they don't teach Russian people, don't know why. And then live, because you're cool. I want you to live a long time. You know, who knows what you're going to do with your life? Don't get killed. But I don't want you to wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, I might get hit by a car. That's not what I'm trying to do, right? But as you take in information on your own, when you're by yourself, reading an article, whatever, give it this little test. Is this a future lie? I mean, are you trying to scare me with what could possibly take place? Because at some point, you know, military and intelligence agencies, they look at what could possibly happen all the time. That's their job. But guess what they do that you're not encouraged to do with all the globalistic Agenda 21 crap, which is climate change and all that stuff, depopulation and all that stuff, right? They don't look at the Well, the professionals look at the odds of the circumstances occurring, statistics and probability as it factors into this potential thing that could occur. Adam Schiff, the piece of shit Adam Schiff, the boy toucher Adam Schiff, right? He went up and during the impeachment trial and he barfed out this propaganda that we, this old 1950s rhetoric of how we have to hate Russia, how Putin can, will only ever be a demon in his eyes, and how Russia is just right around the corner from invading and a land invasion America. And so many insinuated words in a 2-hour diatribe in front of the Senate. Future threat, future lie. So when you ingest stuff of your own or have to hear someone else pitching it to you because they're trying to control you, right? Again, you know, religion is like the greatest version of this, okay? The preacher says you're going to go to hell. Your friend says you're going to go to hell. And if you were to believe it, the amount of apocalyptic control they have over your life is sort of absolute, right? Oh, okay. What do I have to do? Well, kiss my ass for the rest of my... Okay, I'll kiss your ass for... What else do I got to do? Well, you got any money? I need at least 10%. I mean, that's what God says, right? You know, Caesar doesn't exist anymore, so I'm going to have to be paid because I have to consult with you on how to save your soul. And that's going to take away time that I would spend saving other people's. Okay, I'll give you 20%. I'll be doubly protected, right? It's that old Dennis Miller joke he used to say in his stand-up. He'd read the National Enquirer, and there's an ad in the back about how to avoid mail order scams. Send $10. And he says, well, honey, I think I'll send $20. We'll be doubly protected. It's like this used to be common sense, man. A friend of mine did this radio interview. It was like a YouTube vlog interview, but it was like audio only. And she was talking about how America and the world seems to have lost all common sense. And it's such an abstract truth that I want to do like an episode on it, but I'm not sure how I'd wrap my brain around how to thematically explain that to anyone, because common sense is like this, it's like this thing you're supposed to be born with, or it's, you're born with a lot of it, and then your parents are supposed to sort it out for you. Again, wisdom is common sense. It's knowledge experienced, not just knowledge. You know, it was, I'm going to bore you guys with a little story of my own. And again, some of this is rehashed from the past, but I'm sitting here thinking about the metaphor of wisdom and knowledge. And there was this moment in my life that really, really impacted me on so many different levels. I think you guys will get it. And probably telling it again will allow me to tell it a little bit better. When I was a kid, in fact, this is common sense and wisdom and knowledge all in one, man. So I'm like 8 years old, and my dad's working two jobs. He's got his photography job and he's driving UPS at night. My mom is working at a bank as a teller at the time. And so I was a lock key child. I forgot what they call it. The thing where you just have your latchkey child, right? So I'd come home by myself. You know, school got out at 3 o'clock in Kansas. You start at 8, goes to 3, get out at May 25th. We don't have school in summer. And, you know, I just get in the house and watch cartoons, feed myself a little bit. Parents come home, 1, 2, 3, and then we're good. All right. Well, my mom puts me in Cub Scouts, which I don't know if Europeans have that stuff, but it's the precursor to Boy Scouts, right? Same thing, but all the kids are really young. They don't really push us too hard on the, you know, Wes Anderson, Moonrise Kingdom stuff. And, you know, it was kind of cool. I got to hang out with some of my buddies from school and all that good stuff. But the common sense thing of that, which was really dumb, was that you're supposed to be with your dad. It's supposed to be a boy and his father and your brothers, if you have any. And you go into this thing, and mom's got the girls off of Girl Scouts, or I forgot what they call the younger Girl Scouts, but whatever. But there is a situation that happens with this organization where once a year they have this wood car ramp race competition. So they have this little tiny, like, it's like maybe 6 feet, 10 feet, maybe because of the curve, it's 10 feet. They have like four or five lanes, and you take this block of wood and you're supposed to cut it up into a car and put it in these tracks. And then it just gravity takes it down, and one of you wins, one of you doesn't, right? Or the rest of you don't, right? And so this event comes around. Again, my dad's, you know, working his ass off, whatever. Now I'm learning all kinds of things from my dad, like how to build TVs and race motorcycles and all that good stuff. So I'm definitely getting a good dose of my dad on the weekends. But this car, so they just give me this box, and the box has literally been printed in the 50s. No updates to it at all. It's supposed to look like kind of the cyber van. If you follow the schematic on the outside of the box, you just cut a little bit off this thing, nail in four tires, and you're good. And I just still remember to this day, like it was like a few days ago, I'm in the garage with a fucking power hacksaw holding this block down, and I'm just, you know, cutting this shit off. And my mom's just kind of in the kitchen. No problem, man. Got an 8-year-old with the electric hacksaw. I guess she just trusts my IQ to not kill myself or cut my finger off. I got an uncle that had his finger cut off, right? Technically my cousin Larry. And so, you know, the family's got, you know, a couple of injuries like that in there. But I'm just out there, and remember my mom coming out and going, yeah, well, you want macaroni and cheese today or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, I'll take that, whatever. And I'm cutting this thing up. So I create as close to an identical copy of what the box said. And I painted this ugly ass green, I think. And I'm nailing in the tires. But here's the thing. I have no idea what this thing is used for. I have no idea that there's this race. I have no idea. No one ever said anything. We're going to do this. Let me show you the course and stuff, right? So I think I'm making a car just for appearances, right? And then it comes the night that we're going to go to this event. It's at this kind of lodge at this really cool park that we have in my hometown, Chanute, Kansas. And of course, everybody's there. All the dads are there. There's a few moms there. But I remember my mom, the girls, the women would just kind of line up on the edge of the room, kind of looking at us kids. And I'm kind of looking around going, my neighbor, or one of my old neighbors from a previous house was with his old man. But these kids start taking out their cars. And it's painfully obvious from the very get-go, their dads made their cars. And their cars are awesome looking. I mean, Jesus, they have cut away every single piece of wood that doesn't need to exist in order to put four tires on it and make it the proper length, right? It's got to be the length of the block. You can't cut it shorter, right? But they had, like, you know, spoilers on the back, made it this, you know, it's not glued on. It's like literally carved away with flame, you know, paint jobs on it. And here I'm a little artist. I would have done all that stuff, but I didn't think I was allowed to do it. So I see all these tricked out ass cars, and I'm looking at this fucking situation going, you know what? This is bullshit. I'm in this group where I'm supposed to be with my old man. He's working his ass off. Now you put me in a group that just reinforces the fact that my family's kind of got a screwed up thing going on one level, at least, not a major level, but just, you know, what the hell? And they put all the cars in, let them go. Little gate that opens it up. All these other cars haul ass to the ground, right? And I forgot who won. Mine just goes halfway down. And at the steepest point in this ramp, my front left tire is so screwed up when I nailed it in, because I didn't know it was a race car, it sticks and it just stays right there. And it's one of those life, you know, like you just think, ain't this a bitch? You know, I just look at this thing going, yeah. I'm 8 years old. And I just grew 10 years in one moment, just looking at this bullshit scenario that I've been stuffed into, where I'm using knowledge to create a car, not wisdom to create the car, right? The common sense of my parents to throw me in this thing. My mom should have told my dad, you got to help him at least know what the hell he's doing. You know, maybe you draw a little bit more on the block about how to cut away the wood, and then at least he'll do it himself, sort of thing. But I don't know. I don't think my dad did Boy Scouts. I mean, if he did, he probably didn't have the car thing or whatever. I don't know. I should ask my old man if he ever did that. It's a little vignette for you. But this thing about the future prediction thing, it's just a common sense thing. So if you hear it, if someone's trying to control you with these bullshit narratives, if you're a big commenter on the web, maybe you throw it in there. But let's start a trend. Let's start a trend with going, you don't get to threaten me with my future. You don't. You don't get to take away my guns because you have a psychotic fucking mind and you can imagine all these, you know, crazy events happening that none of us are going to engage in. Maybe they would if they got a gun, but you're not going to do it. They are actively participating in weather manipulation to try and create controlled cases in the world where you feel like maybe this climate change shit is occurring. They give you fake thermal data from water in the ocean because all those buoys are owned by the same organizations that are pushing this shit. They're chemtrailing the crap out of things, causing crazy weather patterns and record highs and record lows. Meanwhile, you're getting sick every time you ingest this crap. It's worth 99% of the world going away. And, you know, go check the Georgia Guidestones. Remember, that's 96% of the population currently, and they're not going to start at capacity. So you half that and you're at 99%, 98.9 or whatever. You're going to get down to 150 million people on Earth, 200 max. They're not going to want to deal with this problem for a very long time. So they're not going to go at 500 million. 500 million is 96.4 or some shit of our current projected estimated bullshit population number. Remember, you can fit 1 billion people in a building that's 1 mile square. So 7 buildings, 8 buildings, let's say 1 mile square. You can barely see that shit from space without a telescope. So that's how many human beings we have on planet Earth. And they're trying to tell you we're overpopulated. Right? They try to tell you that we need, GMO is another big future lie. GMO sterilizes human beings. It rots your gut. The two things that blew up as a result of GMO becoming more and more prolific in your food, and this is America mainly, 97% of our shit's GMO. Fucking Hawaii's all GMO. How sad is that? Right? All those pineapples from Dole, all GMO, man. I know this because I researched the jobs over there and I listened to interviews like, oh yeah, we got a bunch of GMO, but everything's GMO over here. The seeds don't replicate. You're eating it. Cell mimicry makes it so that infertility became a gigantic problem as they snuck this shit into our food supply. They love vegetarianism, right? Because you eat more and more of that crap, sterilizing you. So in vitro became gigantic. We have the Octomom and all this other crap. By the time we entered the 21st century, people's guts were so rotted out by this stuff destroying all the tentacles in your upper intestine that now probiotics are something that people have to drink every single day. Some people are so affected by this stuff because they haven't changed their diet that they have to drink this stuff constantly. Again, they're profiting off their poison. I just saw a video on Facebook today where they're taking the Monster drink and mixing it with all kinds of other things that you eat normally. And it's like, it becomes completely toxic in your body. This guy, I forgot what the hell he sprinkled on like a fruit. And then he poured stuff in it, the Monster on it, and then it became rubber. He couldn't easily break the skin anymore. He put it into a coffee mug with something else, and the coffee mug became so weak it shattered. He could just push on it and the thing would blow up. Energy drinks, just so you know, we're going to vignette again. Energy drinks harden your arteries, okay? Why is that a big problem? Well, you may not know it, but your arteries oscillate like the body of a worm, right? They pulse and oscillate. Why do they do that? Well, one, it pumps a little bit of blood, but two, it keeps plaque from forming on your artery walls. You drink a ton of energy drinks, it hardens, it doesn't oscillate, and then plaque starts forming in your arteries right around your heart, and you die of a heart attack. How many of these high school kids are dying right after a football game or just dying because they drink too much of this crap while they're playing World of Warcraft, right? This is why. Have any of these energy drink companies ever been really sued to a point where they're changing their formulas? No. Once an industry is worth a bunch of money, then they're basically too rich to fail. You know, the cell phone industry. What a joke, man. 5G's coming. 5G's coming. One of you who listens to the show commented in the comment section or either the comment section on YouTube or over in Facebook. I'd love for you to comment some more. They said, look, I just finished my training on how to install 5G antennas on light poles. And they literally told us we have to be 10 feet away. We have to be on the ground before it's powered up. Otherwise, I could just be killed instantaneously by its emissions. What? Right? Doctors are running around the world trying to tell people they're going to get completely destroyed genetically. Diabetes and hypertension and mental problems, ADHD and ADD are going to just become a mainstay thing as all these schools rent out their grounds for antennas. Do you care? Do you care? How much do you care? Right? Do you care enough to just go, that's bad? Or do you care enough? You know, I don't have any kids that are in school anymore. I guess I have a kid in school because she's a teacher. But, you know, once you know your stuff, you're at least protected a little bit. But these kids that haven't had their destinies yet. And because if the kid has a problem paying attention in school, what do? Load the kid up on a bunch of drugs. Another future lie is viruses and vaccinations, right? All these things that have been eradicated from the world, you now have to take a vaccine to keep them eradicated from the world, right? You will find the people who think you should take vaccinations are the same kind of people that believe you should eat GMO, you know? Or even the people that are clean, they have no GMO in their kids, they still force them to take all the vaccinations. The richest people in the world don't vaccinate their kids. Obama doesn't vaccinate his kids. Right? I think you feel me on this one, but I think this one's just a gold mine of lucidity. When someone threatens you with a potential future in order to affect change that's going to erode your freedoms immediately, that's a problem. Now, in the case of NASA, it's just stealing your money. And God knows where the money goes, right? I mean, maybe NASA is just one of the greatest welfare programs for smart people. Because they do have tons of PhDs and master's degrees and aspiring PhD people working interns. They're going to get their PhDs. All right. So do we just create this weird slush fund for smart people in the country? All right. Maybe if you were to come clean on that idea and give us a roadmap of the technology that you're actually going to create instead of just sitting around doing bullshit all day long, maybe we would support that. Problem, reaction, solution that David Icke distilled out of the Order Out of Chaos is a beautiful little thing to remember. Maybe that's the step two when you call out someone who's trying to control you with a potential future threat. I mean, again, it's hell and damnation all the way to climate change, all the way to vaccinations, right? You know, all these people that vax their kids yelling at parents that don't, as if it's a threat to their kid. Think about how asininely ignorant these human beings are. I mean, they're ignorant on a level. They're stupid on a level that is just, it's got to be a record somewhere, right? Like a Guinness Book of World Record of how fucking stupid you are to say, wait, you vaccinated your kids before everything, right? Mm-hmm. And you're vaccinated too, right? Dumb parent. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, well, then you're completely fucking cured. For the rest of your life, you'll never catch these diseases, right? That's your whole fucking theory, right? Yeah. So if my kid doesn't get vaccinated and I don't get vaccinated, well, just watch me die then of all this stuff. What you're going to really find is that my kid doesn't have to get on these drugs because they're not fucked up. They never turn into autistic kids. And watch them just walk past your kids, right? Look at the life expectancy of me and I'll be at your funeral. How about that? What do you want me to do at your funeral? Because I'm definitely going to yours. You ain't going to mine. Right? Unless you buy a gun because you're crazy, right? Wisdom. It's great stuff, man. Anyway, let me know what you think. And if I missed one, put that in the comment section as well, because we might revisit this inside of other episodes. I just visited a bunch of weird shit in this episode. Hopefully it was entertaining. I'm in this loop right now of recording at night. I'm trying to create a backlog again because I like having like 4 or 5 videos in the backlog because that allows me to kind of release them sort of under stream of consciousness of like, okay, I made them listen to that kind of shit. That's for me. So I'm going to give them this one for them. And it's cool. So I only got a couple in the backlog right now. But if you haven't, please go to deepthoughtsradio.com for all the links. It's the hub for the whole movement. You know, the objective of this entire show, if you missed it way back in season 1, is to rebuild society from the ground up using society, not just me, right? I'm just a little, you know, nudger. Think about this. How about that? But on there, we have 2 video, YouTube and BitChute. Please go make a BitChute account. It is the backup to YouTube if they happen to go crazy on us, which they haven't. They do demonetize every single video, and I have to petition to get them released. But, you know, I'm going to say they rarely demonetize for a reason that I don't understand. Let's just put it that way. So that's cool. If you like podcasting, get up there with your favorite podcast software. I use a product called Podcast Addict. Hopefully it's on the Mac OS as well. The iOS, it's probably the best one to use. Don't use iTunes if you can help it, but you're probably forced into it because that's how Apple rolls. We have 3 social media, Facebook, Lock Group, which means your employer won't have to go and won't be able just to see what you're posting in there. So you can keep totally private and just express yourself, and it's awesome. We have Twitter, which is getting a lot more traction. So I appreciate everybody who's reposting or retweeting because it seems to be helping quite a bit, so I appreciate it. And Minds.com, which is a free speech copy of Facebook. Please make an account on there too, just to support them. If anything else, you know, they won't bother you. I have a whole channel on there and I don't get any spam from them. A couple ways to donate to the page: Patreon, which is a monthly subscription, get you the videos usually before everyone else. And you also get a 20% discount on the store. We have PayPal, one-time shots. You're totally anonymous if you do PayPal, far as I know, because I can't figure out who anyone is. And then we just have 2 products that I like to promote, which is Brave Browser, which cuts out all the ads and trackers, basically all the metrics that Zuckerberg sold to Cambridge Analytics. It would cut all that off, which is beautiful, right? It doesn't cut out his data, but it cuts out all the ancillary stuff being sold to you, which is great. Change your search engine from Google to DuckDuckGo. Backblaze, best online backup software I've ever found. Just telling you that. Maybe I'll stop promoting that stuff on the trailer. We also have a store with 2 new shirts for season 5. They'll be pulled down as soon as the season's over. We are going to be over way before summer. I feel it coming here. Season 1 is not on this channel because it's all been remastered, balanced. It's beautiful. Whole new link up there. No ads. So get up there and have fun. I am been telling you guys that Brighteon has finally upgraded their policies. We're able to get 50 videos up there. I think I'm at, right now it's 330 something views I have to get before I get to the next 50. So once we get the next 50, I think it'll go a lot faster. And on that note, until next time, take care of yourself and someone else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.